Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen. Please be seated. Our first hymn this morning is "Praise the Lord." Well, a very warm welcome to you this morning. Thanks for joining us here in person and also for those who are on YouTube live stream. If you're new to Scots, please introduce yourself on one of the cards near your seat. Fill it in and leave it at the foyer desk or scan the QR code with your phone and give us your contact details online. We would love to make you welcome and keep you in touch with happenings at Scots. Join us afterwards for a cuppa and a chat over at the mezzanine level at the Westpac building after today's service. Our midweek small groups are held on Tuesday night. There's a light dinner available from 6:30 p.m. So please email me if you're planning to come and I'll give you more details. As part of our small groups program, we run occasional seminars. And coming up on June the 18th, Reverend Dr. Michael Jensen will be launching his book, Subjects and Citizens, The Politics of the Gospel. If you think Christians are all left or even all right, Michael puts a great alternative. All are welcome, and we're hoping for a crowd from beyond Scots as well. So again, please RSVP directly to me at justin@scotschurch.com. Now, there are other notices on your order of service, so please make sure that you have a look. Our next hymn is My Song is Love Unknown.
Let us pray. Lord, we ask that our every thought and prayer this day would have you at its center, that these things might accord with your will and holy character. A light to lighten the Gentiles, a glorious salvation, one prepared for all peoples. These are the words of those who encountered you as recorded in the scriptures for generation after generation. Lord, your gift is the Holy Spirit, and we are inheritors of that gift, the gift of eternal life. To say that we give thanks for this great salvation is a meager offering, but so we do, Lord. We give thanks to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, forgive us for any ingratitude. Forgive us for withholding your blessings. Pardon our selfishness, cowardice, and pride. Fill us anew with the joy of your salvation, which has come to us as we are now so far away from time and space, from your work in the early days, the incarnation. Lord, you are ever watchful. And bless us with your gifts. As you provide for all our needs, so help us to build only what pleases you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And so we pray as Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. During our next hymn, we take up an offering, which is one of the essential ways to join in partnership with the church and the Lord's work that we do. It supports the pastoral team, our missionaries, and the various efforts that we take as a church family to share God's kingdom in this world and city particularly. If you'd like to give online, there are some instructions in the back of the order of service as well. Kids and teens are very welcome to leave for Kids Church to the back, and let us sing the rousing Rejoice, the Lord is King.
Please be seated. Please join me in prayer. Creating and redeeming God, we praise and thank you for your love shown to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for his life and ministry, for his sacrificial death upon the cross for the redemption of the world, and for raising him again as a foretaste of the glory we shall share. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending the Holy Spirit who sustains us on our journey with you and helping us care for each other and pray for one another and work together for justice and truth. We give thanks for the Holy Spirit whose availability extends to all nations and to everyone who believes in your Son, Jesus. We give you thanks for our church family's care, support, and encouragement across generations and diverse nationalities. We praise you for unifying us through our shared faith in Jesus. Loving God, thank you for giving us the strength, wisdom, and courage share the good news of Jesus in our local community, church community, or in our homes. Now please guide Scott's ministry team and our church leaders in spreading Jesus' teaching and making decisions that promote unity and growth within our church. We pray for Scott's Tuesday small groups and the new Vespers service starting on Thursday's evenings on June 6. We pray that these gatherings will draw people to join the warm Christian community at Scott's and Scott City and bring glory, honor, and praise to you. We thank you for the mission lunch last week. We pray that our church will become more generous in supporting missions and our partners in Spain, in Japan, Africa, and Victoria, as well as New South Wales. And we ask for blessings of strength, wisdom, proficient protection, and peace for our mission partners so that they can continue to share Jesus' love with the people they meet daily. God of peace and justice, we pray for peace and harmony in our world. Lord, guide local demonstrations and inspire fairness and justice among authorities. We pray for peace in conflict areas such as Israel and Gaza, Ukraine and Russia, Sudan, Myanmar, Somalia and Libya, and for the negotiation of peace in these regions. We pray that Christians will not lose their hope in Christ and will still be able to share their faith in him. We pray for our government leaders at all levels, including our Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, our Victoria Premier, Jacinta Allan, and Melbourne's Lord Mayor, Sally Capp. May they lead with truth, fairness, and justice, showing concern for the marginalized, the poor, and the refugees, while managing financial resources well. Lord God, we pray for strength, wisdom, and peace for all those facing suffering in our world, in our church community, and their beloved families. May they find spiritual strength and trust in you, our living hope. And we pray for those who have recently undergone surgeries or hospitalization. We continue to pray for strength, comfort, and healing for our seniors in aged care facilities, retirement villages, or at home. And we also pray for your healing grace and full recovery for Sheila Nair, Helen Holman, Dennis Conradi, Beverly Abilene, and Nilma Karastas. Our heartfelt thoughts and praise are for Phil and Louise Campbell, their daughter Susie, and especially their son-in-law, who are grieving the loss of his younger brother, Eamon, to brain cancer. Loving God, we continue to pray for strength, comfort, and peace during this difficult time to the family who are grieving at this time. May Eamon find eternal rest. We ask for Phil to be granted strength and wisdom as he prepares to lead Eamon's funeral next week. May the good news of Jesus be shared among families and friends. And now, loving God, accept our free will offerings and tithes and bless the cheerful givers and those who give to give electronically. Grant that with our gifts, we may also offer a ready mind and a willing spirit to show forth in our lives the truth of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning's first Bible reading is from Acts chapter 11, verses 1 to 18. You can follow along in your order of service. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began and explained it to them in order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey, and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, "By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth." But the voice answered a second time from heaven, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, "Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, and you and all your household." As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." Amen. This morning's second Bible reading continues from verse 19. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted to them all remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Amen, and thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sarisha. Please join me in prayer before we take a look at God's word together. Heavenly Father, as we do at this time every week, our prayer to you is that you would open our minds, open our hearts, that you would change us week by week through your word and spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Why are so many Christians such killjoys? It's a fair question, isn't it? So often we are seen as the no people. In our recent history, you can list us off in our various little subgroups of passionate, no fun, no music, no dancing, no alcohol, no blood transfusions, no vaccines, no medications, and no meat proponents. No, 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 and no. Very much unlike City Ford, who used to advertise on the radio in Sydney in my youth with the slogan, City Ford says yes more often, and a cheeky little yes, yes, yes jingle to go with it. And of course these days, Optus with the big yes logo. Yes to almost everything unless you want a reliable phone service that can dial 000 in a crisis. Optus says yes, while we are the abominable no men. City Ford says yes, yes, yes. Our jingle is no, no, no. Or so it sometimes seems. Now, sadly, that's a trend that seems to run all the way back to at least one stream of the Jewish church in Jerusalem, right back in the book of Acts, who are determined to say no to the crazy idea of having Gentiles, having non-Jews in the church. When it comes to in-groups and out-groups, you can't really beat year seven girls, can you? It's a tough lesson being learnt by our granddaughter in her first year of high school. There is somehow a relish almost, there's a perverse enjoyment built into humanity, I think. I'm sure the Germans have a word for it. The joy of seeing other girls excluded from the in-group just as long as you're still part of it. Now, sadly, it seems that's the tone when Peter gets back to Jerusalem after the astonishing events we saw unfolding in Caesarea last week. Now, if you missed it, it's okay. There's actually a full recap at the start of chapter 11. We heard it in the reading as Peter retells the whole story, blow by blow. Here's the issue. Peter, leading apostle, has been breaking some big Jewish rules in who he's chosen to mix with, who he's prepared to say yes to. Our series over these few weeks in Acts is called Jesus for Gentiles. And that's what we saw last week. The Gentiles, which again is just the Jewish word for everyone else who's not us Jews, that the Gentiles, considered unclean and for generations excluded, have astonishingly heard the word about Jesus, have even more astonishingly, it seems, had their own Pentecost event where they've received the Holy Spirit in the same dramatic and visible way the first Jewish converts did back in Acts chapter 2. And now they've been baptized into the church in the name of Jesus Christ at the end of chapter 10, which in every way you'd think should be great news. But here's the thing. Look again in verses 1 to 3. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." See, if you've ever heard the City Ford ad on the radio, you could change it and just sing along the no, no, no jingle in your head. Now, circumcision back then, the mark of being Jewish, uncircumcision, everyone else. These Gentiles, fantastic, they've received the word. No, 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 not so fast, young fella. We heard that when you were there, you ate with them. Don't you know they're unclean? Now, you see, this is undeniably true. He did eat with them. That's what chapter 10 was all about. He went to them. He even stayed with them in their house for days. Chapter 10, verse 48, and Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days, which he did in their house, the house of the Roman Cornelius, touching their unclean stuff, eating their unclean food, being in and among them, refusing to call them unclean. And the response when he gets home to Jerusalem, criticism from these Jewish enthusiasts in the Jerusalem church. Now, I want to take just a moment to remind you of the Bible's big story at this point. We looked at it a little earlier in the year when we touched on Genesis chapter 12, which in a sense is the very start of the Israel story, with God calling their forefather Abraham and spelling out as a series of promises the future pathway for the nation. Now, the promises included some real estate at that point. Something about from a river to a sea, which is the issue that seems to have fixated everyone's attention from that day until now. But if you look at the opening words of God's covenant, the words on the screen, notice this, that the land will come and go. Bigger than that is that this nation, Israel, is just a starting point for a long-term plan to bring God's blessing to all the world. Abraham and his descendants are going to be blessed by God, he says, to be a blessing. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And from that, all the families of the earth will be blessed by God as well. Now, friends, I am no political pundit. You will need to wait for Michael Jensen for that and his book launch. But by any analysis, When you look at the unfolding story of Israel in the Old Testament, when you look even at the war going on today, I'm sure it's hard to discern from the ruins of your home on the Gaza Strip what possible blessing is coming your way from Israel. Because there's always been this trend, I suspect, to see only the first part of that promise of blessing. Israel's chosen, receiving the covenant from God, receiving the word of God, receiving the promised Messiah from God, receiving the heart-changing Spirit of God, forgetting they're meant to be a blessing to the nations. It's meant to extend. And now here you see Peter is in the midst of that very blessing to the nations playing out. It's happening at last. And they criticize him. They say, no, no, no. You went to Gentiles and you ate with them. At which point, you see, Peter repeats the story we saw last week. The vision like a great sheet descending from heaven, crawling with animals that the Old Testament book of Leviticus had declared unclean. And a voice saying, kill and eat. Peter objecting. I was like you, he says. I thought the same. I said, by no means, Lord, for nothing uncommon or unclean has ever entered my mouth. But Peter says, the voice answered a second time from heaven, what God has made clean, do not call common. At which point he says, and you remember this if you were here last week, at which point there's a knock on the door. And some Gentiles are there, some Italians. And the Spirit told me, verse 12, go with them, making no distinction. And so I did, he says. I went. And there's Cornelius, the Gentile, waiting for me. And he's saying, I've had a vision too, that Simon Peter will come and declare to us the message by which we will be saved. So I did, says Peter. We went into his house. I told him about Jesus, and he believed. Now, again, if you were here last week, this is all very repetitive. If I was writing the Reader's Digest condensed Bible, this is one of the bits I guess I'd leave out. But why do you think Luke, as he writes, is repeating it in so much detail? Because, you see, it is so fundamentally important. The Holy Spirit accepted them, he says. Why shouldn't we? So I baptized them, says Peter, because I figured that if God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? Good question, hey. And look, maybe I've been a bit too negative about the negative reception in Jerusalem, because the point is they finally get it. They fall silent and they glorify God, saying then to the Gentiles also, God has granted repentance that leads to life. Just remember, every time you read that Gentile word, keep telling yourself they're talking there about us. They nearly said no to you. It's a word that literally translates the nations, the ethnesen, the ethnics, that old school word that means everyone who isn't in our Jewish in-group. I don't know, maybe, like Peter, they're still wondering if God's made a big mistake, but at least they've figured it out. Now that is attitude number one to the inclusion of us Gentiles in the church. No, no, no. Then a grudging acceptance. Just quickly, I want to point you to a heartwarming contrast, which we'll see from verse 19, where you've got the story of the church that is developing in Antioch. You might remember from our series last year, the first section of Acts, there has been persecution already. Acts chapter 7, Stephen stoned to death, Christians fleeing from Jerusalem in their thousands, spreading up to the north as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, where there were established Jewish communities. And so, true to form, the Jewish Christians from Jerusalem up to that point have spoken the word to no one except other Jews. Until some had come later from Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to the city of Antioch, and they spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. Hellenists meaning Greek speakers. And suddenly, it seems all over the map, people are talking about Jesus in all kinds of languages. Word is getting out, again, beyond the boundaries of the Jews. And clearly, to Luke as he writes, clearly there's every evidence that the Lord himself is behind it. Because you see, this was God's plan from the beginning. Genesis 12, a blessing not just for Israel, but for all the families of the earth. An international kingdom, not just an Israelite enclave. So as you can see, he says in verse 21, the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The hand of the Lord Jesus turning hearts to follow him, overcoming objections, overturning stubborn hearts. Now, notice the positive counterexample, the positive model to balance the no, no, no we saw at the start. Barnabas, you can call him Mr. City Ford, who says yes more often, who in contrast to the previous no men in Jerusalem, is sent up to Antioch to check things out. And he comes, we're told, and he sees the grace of God at work. And he responds, as you'll see, with a resounding yes. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad. And he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. Barnabas, we've actually met him earlier in Acts as well. He had the nickname back there, Son of Encouragement. He's the guy who was selling up his spare real estate to give help to the poor. Here he is, at it again, absolutely true to form, Son of Encouragement. Because he's, just in biblical terms, a really good bloke. He's a model encourager. See, here is what it looks like to be a person full of the Holy Spirit and faith, the sort of person we should long to imitate. So you see, you'll be a person who celebrates whenever God adds to his number. You'll be a person who, no matter how long you've been part of a church, will rejoice at the change that comes from a new generation. You'll be a person who rejoices at the sound of a new baby crying in the pews as a sign of new life. You'll be a person who thrills at the thought that a church that's called Scots Church because of our historical beginnings isn't actually just a church for Scottish people, but really is a community where people get to hear about the Lord Jesus and are added to our number no matter where or what background they've come from all over the world. Not no, 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 but yes, yes, yes. And verse 24 says that because of that kind of Barnabas response, a great many people were added to the Lord. Friends, what Israel was called to be in Genesis chapter 12 was a radiating centre of blessing and justice and community that was a beacon to all the nations of the world, with a coming Messiah, a king for all the nations. Instead, they piled up their sense of privilege. They preferred to play politics, said, "We're clean and no one else can join us." You see, that, as you'll know from even a casual reading of the New Testament, didn't go so well. So now it's our turn as Gentile followers of the Lord Jesus. Close as anything, we weren't welcome, as that same exclusive attitude spilled over into the Jerusalem church. So now there's a church in Antioch full of Gentiles like us, with Barnabas on behalf of Jerusalem saying welcome, which is what you and I need to keep saying even today. Because ultimately, in God's plan, what we're called to be as a church, wherever we are, is a radiant centre of blessing and care and community in the service of the Lord Jesus. Literally, thousands and thousands and thousands of little epicentres all around the world, made up of people from all around the world, a decentralised kingdom saying yes more often to anyone who wants to follow the Lord Jesus with us, where people can see the grace of God at work and join the celebration. I want to close with a one-minute video. I hope you can see and hear it from where you are, because if you haven't noticed already, that's exactly what Scott's Church is becoming. Tuesday night at small groups, I walked around for 5 minutes asking people to say hi and tell us where they've come from. Take a look at the result, because I think you'll be encouraged.
My name is Hyuk Jin, I'm from Korea.
Hi, I'm Gilda from Singapore.
British.
Daniel from Indonesia.
John, I'm born in Australia and Canada background.
Johnson, China.
Australia.
Hi, I'm Erica from Indonesia.
Ashley from Australia.
Grace from the United States.
I'm Gupen, I'm from South Korea.
I'm Richard, my dad's Austrian, and my mother's multi-generational Australian.
I'm Liz, I'm from Singapore.
Hi, I'm Hez, I'm an Aussie with Indian grandparents.
G'day, I'm Phil, an absolute Aussie.
And a good little advertisement for the great time that small groups are every Tuesday evening. We're going to close with a great hymn, "O God, Our Help in Ages Past."
Thank you.
Now, if you thought that was good, wait till you hear the postlude today. It's something to really enjoy. Thanks for being with us this morning. It's been a great morning of church. I do hope you've been encouraged. And stay for a cuppa at Westpac behind me. Let me close with the benediction. And now may grace, mercy and peace from God the Father, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen.